Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right, 4 days to kick off. Eagles and the L.A. Rams. 215-592-9494. Game, the Eagles are under a touchdown favorite, but near a touchdown. And I think should win the game. Fairly handily is maybe the wrong way to frame it, but just should win the game. Because the Eagles rarely win a game. Let me put it this way. The Eagles don't win a game comfortably too often. It's usually fairly close.
It doesn't feel comfortable, but then they win by double digits more, like, all the time. The Steelers game was like, oh, that felt close. They won 27-13. Like, last week, oh, it's close. They won by 12 points. They more than doubled the spread. Like,
the Ravens game, they added a touchdown at the end.
Yeah, at the end, they were up 21-12. They scored a touchdown at the end. I think they're going to win by double digits. I honestly do.
You know, James, keep saying you know, we won by 12 in the playoffs, and you say, I know. Well, do you?
But
here's my point. I'm sure. Dominant win in the playoffs.
Well,
this is a dominant team playing in a postseason in a tournament where what we do best is what matters most now. And that is going to pay dividends.
Here's the point I was trying to make. Maybe I didn't say it right. More often than not, 55 minutes of the game hangs in the balance. And the Eagles typically seem to, at the very end, salt it away. And good for them. I mean, I'm with everything that was just said. But
with their closer, Saquon.
Yes. But let's not act like the Eagles blow teams out.
No.
That rarely happens. I mean, John, it's not the 0-4 Eagles. I mean, you guys would just... I mean, the game would be over in the early third quarter. The game would be over. And the Eagles
I
have had
the
that...
the game is controlled in a different way.
I agree.
They do win by these games. I mean, they got 20-point win, 17-point win, 14-point win, you know, 17 again. Like, I mean, they won 34-6, 41-7 over Dallas. They beat Dallas combined 75-13 this year.
Ben, you talk some sense into Richie.
I think you're wrong. I think Richie's right.
Ben,
I think you're wrong.
They're not pulling away till later in the game.
Correct.
I mean, these
what does it matter? They win by more than double digits a lot of times. Like, to your point, they're not, like, jumping on teams.
They
dominate these games.
I was told by my coaches that every game, it's going to be a field goal or less. I was told by my coaches, this is the NFL, guys. It's going to be a point.
Well,
like, you have to be so adherent to everything exactly the right way because it's going to be a point here or a point there that wins this game. And we're winning by 12 in the playoffs. Like, that really is a dominant win. And I expect another dominant win against this Rams team. I don't know that it'll be 12 points. I think it could be.
I think it'll be 14 or more.
It could be.
I think it'll win by two touchdowns. I really do. I believe that.
Another double digit win.
All right, let's rock some calls here. And I want to get to this audio of Lewis Riddick on the Dallas situation with Deion. Something he said yesterday, pretty interesting. Jason right now. Jason, good morning.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hi, Jason.
What's up? How's it going, guys?
Super.
Yeah, you know, I'm a good friend of Ben. And,
are you really?
I was hysterically laughing about when you guys were making fun of his first name. Ben probably knows who I am when I start to mention some things right now. But interesting enough, I think that Ben's name transcends even probably with his children. So there is one of his children. If you get to meet his younger son, He's got two names as well, doesn't he, Ben?
He does. It's Shawn. Shawn Michael is Mickey. I named.
Correct. Oh, it's a family thing.
Shawn Michael,
I like this.
The wrestler.
No.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to name him Mickey, but Megan said no. No chance. So
very similar. This is a really family thing.
Yeah, this is
so you
wild.
Named him something else, and then
you just called him Mickey anyway.
History repeats itself.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Does she realize that she said no to calling him Mickey, but now you're calling him Mickey?
I mean, she still calls him Sean, but everyone else calls him Mickey. So yeah,
it's so Ben, our boys played baseball together at Malvern, so that's how I knew that Mickey wasn't Mickey, because if you're introduced to Mickey, then you know Ben introduced you to Mickey. But if you're introduced to Mickey as Sean, then you know Megan introduced you to Sean.
Wow. This is true.
That's
this
hilarious.
Is that is tricky. Yes.
Wild. Mickey. Yes. All right, Jason. Good stuff, man. Appreciate the call. Let's talk to Derek in Paoli. Derek, good morning.
What's up, man? You know, real quick, man, you did me dirty the other day when I called, man. You cut me off in like 10 seconds, and one of your friends texted me and said, yo, Joe just did you real dirty, man. But I guess I made a good point because you and John just started going back.
I find it hard to believe there was a cutoff after 10, but hey.
Whoa, they recorded the phone call and sent it to me, bro.
Prove it to me.
All right, I'm going to send it to you. Anyway, yeah. Listen, the other day when I was listening with Seth Joyner and he said something about being ungrateful, I think the word he wanted to use was take for granted, right? Because just hearing y'all talk just now about how the Eagles be winning, it's like it's never good enough. You know what I mean? Like, we're in the playoffs, and if we win, we win. You know what I mean?
Here's the part, Derek. Here's the part I think Seth either didn't get or doesn't want to acknowledge what I was trying to say. There's a difference between being grateful, which I am, because I love the Eagles and I love that they win a lot, and concerned moving forward based on how the quarterback's playing. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I think he meant to say take for granted.
Maybe.
I don't think that he really has the right to say what somebody should be grateful and ungrateful for. That's why I think he worded it. And he'll probably tell you the same thing. But, you know, when Chuck calls up, man, and he's, you know, all emotional and screaming and hollering, I think he kind of got Seth's words a little mixed up. But real quick, though, with the Sixers, right, seeing how they are right now, do you have a little bit of more whatever for Doc Rivers watching how this team has been put together?
That is an interesting concept.
I don't.
No.
Do you forgive Doc
no.
to some
it's
degree?
The same exact thing.
No.
Doc was still a jerk to us.
Same exact thing. Yeah, he was. Nick Nurse just not a jerk to us, but yeah. Doc Rivers was going through the same thing.
I can
Doc
understand
Rivers, he just was
the frustration.
More, that's all.
Yeah, but I think we all knew that Doc was dealing with some, you know, frustrating situations.
Yeah,
we knew a lot of the details on that stuff.
Derek, this is going to sound weird, but it's true. Players played more 3 years ago. Like, there's been a substantial drop in just a couple of years of players playing.
The NBA is a joke, bro. You see Jaylen Brown from the Celtics is the highest-paid player, right?
I know.
And then the kid, Shai Gilgeous, he's ready to get $80 million. The players, they make the rules. And the owners are making the money, so all they do is sit back, let them do whatever they want. But the NBA is a joke. I'm a big-time basketball guy,
yep.
But I barely ever watch an NBA game anymore. Maybe in the playoffs I'll start. But
I think Derek's right on that point.
I do too.
Like, until the owners aren't making money, they're not going to change it.
I agree. I agree with you. Yeah, I think that's right.
Wow.
For my iconic photo, being that it's a holiday on Monday, I'm going to go with the Martin Luther King I Have a Dream speech photo. I got that hanging up.
You got it, my man. I got that hanging up as well. It's a great one. No question about it. It's like just about the first thing you see when you walk in my apartment. I got that whole whole speech, the whole,
cool.
All the words. I mean, it's, you know, small, like, you know, when you see those things and the words are all small, but the photo and the actual text of the speech. Let's get to Jordan in Princeton. Jordan, good morning.
Good morning, team. First off, I walk 13 miles every morning, and it's a pleasure, especially during playoff season, to spend it with this crew for a couple hours every morning. You guys are great, especially during playoff season, so thanks for the entertainment.
You bet, Jordan.
Thank you.
Also, John Ritchie, I want you to pitch me a tasty cake anytime, Matt. I'm about to head to Wawa to grab some crimpets.
Oh, yeah?
Something about the combination of your voice and a Philadelphia baked good.
It's
really a phenomenal combination.
I just had some dipping sticks in the break. Yeah, they are amazing to start your day
with. Yeah, you know, you got to not crack the second package open. That's always the issue. One is okay.
You're right.
Well, that's
right.
Why you walk the 13 miles.
Yeah, that's why you walk a half marathon every day, I guess.
Yeah.
Every day. The Eagles are going to win on Sunday. I feel pretty confident about that. But let's talk about who the loser is this week. It is the city of Philadelphia. The city of Philadelphia took such an embarrassing loss this week. Mayor Parker, how can you let yourself get pushed around by a private equity executive when all of your citizens, all of your constituents are telling you that this is something they don't want? Did we really spend years engaging in a conversation about removing a cultural section of this city to put a sports arena there? And to be so blind to how to economically revitalize the city of Philadelphia at a time where the potential is absolutely there to start to reclaim some of the city's former glory. I'm just shocked. I'm not shocked, but I'm dismayed and I'm disappointed that we let a private equity executive, who frankly is turning out, in my opinion, to be one of the worst owners in professional sports in the NBA, which is now by far the worst of the four major sports. It's very disappointing. And then you top that with the announcement that Macy's on Market is closing, the old Wanamaker building. We're going to lose the light show. I've attended that for the last 40 years with my mother, my kids, my grandmother when she was still here. The city of Philadelphia really took a huge loss this week, and I think they need to understand how to best serve the citizens and the
community. Yeah, well, look, I'll say this, Jordan. I agree with a lot of what you said, but one thing I'll disagree with. In the end, I think the result actually is fantastic. And if there is a revitalization of the South Philly sports complex area through the prism of four teams stay and stuff gets built around it, like, yeah, Xfinity Live's great, but let's have like five times Xfinity Live, then that could be really, really, really cool. So I like the end result. I don't like, and I think most of us don't like, the way it was arrived at. And yes, I agree, it made the mayor look ridiculous. I'm no city politics expert, but the man on the moon knows the mayor looked ridiculous the way the whole thing went down.
And Xfinity Live was the beginning of a what I'll call a failed experiment in revitalizing South Philly around the sports complex.
No, it was too small. I mean, here's the problem with look, I love Xfinity Live. The thing is, people don't go if there's not a game. It's either totally full or totally empty.
You need a reason to bring people. I live a mile from there. So, you know, I'm not going there unless there's games.
And
I mean,
but Jordan, it could change if there's more
restaurants, retail.
If you
have
a whole thing, then
hotels, all of it.
That could be
hotels.
Well, it's what they did out by the Staples. Like, it's the same thing they did in LA. Yeah. I know that Atlanta's brought up there. It's a thing.
Atlanta. I don't know if anyone's been down to Truist in Atlanta, but the economic district that they built around the ballpark there is open 365
days
a year.
Well, this one might be. Let's hope they nail what they put together. Jordan, give me an iconic photograph.
So I think an iconic photograph has three things. It is the right time, it is in a place, and it captures a special event. I'll take us, and the man on the moon comment is great. I'm going to take us to Christmas Eve, 1968, the flight of Apollo 8. It was the first time that humans had left Earth orbit. And Bill Anders, who passed away this past summer,
the Earthrise,
the iconic Earthrise photograph. It was the first time that any of us saw humanity from that distance. And I don't think there's ever been a more important or special or iconic photo taken in the history of photography.
Great answer.
Jordan, great phone call all around and fascinating answer for sure. That's got winning potential. All right.
It's actually called the Earthrise.
It's called Earthrise.
That's
amazing. That's the name of the
great
photo.
Name?
Yeah, wow, it's a great name. Yeah.
That is cool. All right, Dion, Cowboys. Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. Lou Riddick thinks it won't happen and he's got a specific reason. Did he text you back, by the way?
Oh, I didn't ask him.
Oh, okay.
He goes on.
That's great.
All right.
You seem really serious about that, though, John.
Yeah. I mean,
like you pull
I know
your
he
phone
goes by Lewis. I was going to text him, and I thought, you know what?
Don't bother.
I'm not going to wake him up and ask him, do you like to be called Lou? He goes by Lewis. Yeah.
Big gulps, huh?
Maybe later.
All right. Yeah.
Well, he kind of goes by both. It's like Herm Edwards. My recollection when he was here, he was more Herman Edwards.
Maybe.
And now it's more Herm Edwards. But
Rhea,
would you agree when he played? I was very young.
I thought he was Herman Edwards.
Herman, right?
I was super young, too. But
he was Herman Edwards. Yeah. And now he's Herm Edwards.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway,
yeah.
Joe, do you know
Wechter
where...
Wechter says Herman, too.
Right.
Wechter says Herman,
when he played, he was Herman Edwards.
Do you know where Riddick went to college?
Pitt!
He's a Panther!
Yeah, he did.
That's when Pitt used to be
You're
good.
Really getting haughty about the Pitt thing.
I think he might have played
Joe's
for
Joe's always getting on my case for Pitt, so I just have to, you know, test his knowledge a little bit.
He might have played for Gruden at Pitt. Was Gruden at
Gruden
Pitt
was,
he was?
Gruden was
I
at Pitt?
I think Gruden was at Pitt.
Before the Packers and
way
the Eagles?
Way back, yeah. Yeah, way back.
I didn't
like
know
late
that.
80s, maybe?
Well, maybe. I mean, he was offense coordinator here,
I think,
at 29.
He was the wide receivers coach at Pitt in 1991.
Wow. 91. Okay.
Good job, John.
What a call by you, dude.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah.
Good knowledge.
I didn't know that at all. All right, I do know that Lewis Riddick thinks Deion to Dallas will not work if it happens. Well, it just isn't going to happen. Listen to what Lewis Riddick said.
This is just not a match to me that seems like it makes a whole lot of sense from a professional standpoint. Deion is the ultimate alpha. The ultimate alpha. He has his hands on every single part of the Colorado football team and of the Colorado football organization. He won't have the same kind of influence in Dallas. We all know this. We talk about this on Get Up every year. We understand what head coaches are up against when they're going and working for Jerry Jones and you're working at the Dallas Cowboys. It's a unique situation. It's a situation that probably on its surface looks a lot differently than it does once you get in it and once you're kind of like going through the motions every single day. Does that to me sound like a match for Deion? Look, I don't want to speak for the man. You should never try and speak for the man. But I'll speak from experience. It doesn't seem like a good match for me. Could it be something that absolutely would light headlines on fire forever? Yeah, it would. But there's a difference between the business and the profession. And professionally, I just don't see this as being a match.
It's an interesting perspective. I mean, the whole thing would have to start with this. Who picks the players? And if you're Deion, and I'm not saying Deion should pick the players. Very few coaches should.
He's not gonna.
I mean, he's been a coach for like 3 years.
I know. But I'm just saying, I could see him being like, look, I want to win.
I mean, just the concept
and do I trust
of it
Jerry
is
Jones
wild.
Do I trust Jerry Jones to effectively pick the players? And I think anybody with reasonable sense at this point would say no.
And there, you know, there's a lot of sense out there, though, from people that Deion, he's, what, 3 years into his five-year deal at Buffalo, at Colorado?
I think it's two.
It's a leverage play, yeah.
Is a leverage play.
I've heard the same thing.
More money.
I've heard that this is good for both sides, is what I've heard people say.
Correct. It's more promotion for the Cowboys. It's more promotion for Deion. And that they were kind of in on it.
Wow.
The Jason Witten thing is strange.
Crazy.
Remember Jason Witten as an announcer.
Terrible.
I don't think he's been coaching.
He's never coached.
Since
has there ever been, other than Jeff Saturday for that like interim thing, has anyone ever gotten an NFL head coaching job with zero coaching experience? I don't think that's ever happened before.
Saturday, wasn't it?
I said other than Saturday as an interim coach, I don't think it's ever happened before.
So it's happened in other sports.
Yeah, in other sports,
this
of course it has. Yeah,
basketball.
Yeah, of course. But I don't think it's ever happened in the NFL.
That's a good question. I don't know.
It just makes sense if I'm the Cowboys organization, I look at Jason Witten, I look at Kellen Moore, and I feel like, okay, one guy actually has done it in this league for a long time. He was here in our organization for 8 years.
Yeah.
We know he can work with Dak. We know he can call plays. It seems like the safe and wise move when you're considering between him and Deion and Jason Witten. It seems like, I don't know, the chalk move.
I mean, look, Kellen Moore is a very viable candidate. I mean, it depends how much they want to go external and other guys. I mean,
my concern with that is, once again, Jalen would be in a new language of an offense for another year. So
I
would hope that someone could come in who would do the same offense with the same language.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means he has to be here now or if that means he's just a West Coast type guy who has the same terminology.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So Frank Reich's out there. Doug Peterson's out there. We got some
dudes.
I
love Frank Reich being out there.
So, Devin, your comment, you wouldn't be heartbroken. You're down on Kellen Moore?
I don't think he's bad at his job, but I wouldn't be super upset if he left for a head coaching job. Like, I think I think he's obviously better than Brian Johnson last year, but it's just very vanilla to me. And I know that maybe Jalen Hurts plays a part in that, but it's just like every game he picks one play and just calls it over and over and over again. It's frustrating to watch. I just haven't been overly impressed.
Ben and I shake our head yes when you say Jalen plays a part in that. Ben, I think they've been coaching around him for a couple years.
100%.
And I think it makes the coordinators look worse, but they're calling plays they think he can handle.
Yes. 100%. And I think it's worked against both sides. And the fact that I think they just don't let him. I think he's gotten to the point now where he is just so conscious of turning the ball over. Mm-hmm. He just will not let that thing go.
He doesn't rip it.
He will
50-50s.
Not let it go.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And you're going to see the complete opposite from Stafford on
and
Sunday.
Will. When
isn't that smart,
he
though,
has to.
Too?
I think he is as
with,
yes,
with this,
as
with this
wise
team to an extent.
Right yeah. now in this situation, like, don't make mistakes.
No, I gotta, we saw early in the season, he came out the gates, and he was taking those shots, and he made some mistakes because the ball was caught by the other team. And then, the backlash for that was he's not going to do that.
And they haven't lost a game that he has played all the way through since he's done that, just for what it's worth.
But you have the weapons that he has. Take a chance at some point.
Ben, he will.
Well, he may not.
He must if we are trailing in a game. I don't think he's going to go back there and just eat it and not take the shot. I think it is game specific.
It is fascinating.
It is crazy to watch. I have not seen a guy be this conservative and really like selfless in a lot of ways with the statistics and everything else, because guys have some ego.
Yeah.
He is as ego-less as any quarterback I've ever witnessed, which is a great thing for us.
No, it's pretty wild.
I don't think he gets any credit for that.
I agree with you on
that. No one ever talks about that part. That's a huge deal.
I agree with that. I do. All right, one other NFL thing I just want to get to. It's not Eagles related, but it's something just to be aware of. We've talked about the Brady thing before as an announcer and him being the Raiders owner. Fascinating. And Rhea, this came from Ian Rappaport, correct? Through Richard Deitch's column?
Yeah, so Richard Deitch does the sports media column in The Athletic, and Richard based this note in his column off of Ian Rappaport's tweet.
All right, so here's what it says. It says, and this is a quote, it says, or I'm reading from it. It says, thanks in part to the involvement of Brady, Tom Brady, who sources say personally vouched for Ben Johnson and implored him to take an interview through his agent. Johnson spoke with them being the Raiders. Right, Ray, them being the Raiders?
Yeah.
Okay, it says, essentially, Brady recruited Ben Johnson to interview. And then the story goes on to say, Rappaport also reported, quote, Brady was influential in the decision to fire Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco, seeking alignment from him to the GM to the coach. Now, here's what the article, the Richard Deitch writer says. He says, Rappaport is not a social media rando. He works for the NFL. He's one of the prominent insiders of the sport, and he's well aware of the significance of putting the Brady news out. So we are now less than a week away from Fox's lead NFL analyst calling games of a team, that's the Lions, where he is actively recruiting one of its coaches.
Wow.
There is no other NFL broadcast with this kind of working conflict, but we already knew that. What Fox Sports should do out of respect for the audience is have Brady and his partner Kevin Burkhardt discuss that Brady has been part of the process involving Johnson, a central figure in the game they are calling Saturday night at 8 o'clock. It would be transparent, it would be honest, and it would also help Brady with viewers.
It's insane.
It is insane.
It's crazy.
If he's just going on. And the thing is,
it's a mockery.
Ben Johnson, you can go on and on about him. He's very good, right?
Yeah.
But if Brady's doing it, I'm going, he's just trying to hire him. And, you know, Greece, we've said it all along.
It's too much.
The minute that it's an insane conflict of interest.
It's gotten worse than I expected.
Yeah.
It really has.
Well, it makes a mockery
of it. Can't be allowed.
It's a mockery of the job. Yeah. It is.
Any further. They need to put the kibosh on this. This has to be the last year that Brady has his hands
choose
in
one. Choose
yeah.
one.
You have to pick one or the other.
He's got $350 million coming to him.
I mean,
and he's going to have to
also owner of an NFL franchise.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Good luck with
one
that.
Or the other, man.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Well, this is an all-time song. All right, good morning to you. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. So we spent a lot of time today, maybe more than we should have, on the Sixers debacle last night, because Eagles are about to play a playoff game, but it really is. John, your word was great when you said we have resentment of the whole thing.
Yeah, it was a perfect word.
The players, the teams, the league, the commissioner.
Deeply resentful.
Yeah, no, it's true. So we spent so much time talking about it. We haven't actually listened to what Nick Nurse said about it after the game last night. And I do wish he would be grilled more. Yeah. Well, no, grilled more on, like, let me put it this way, James. And I've made this point for years. The questions Eagles coaches have had to answer through the years.
Oh, my God. Light years harder.
Yeah. Compared to questions Sixers coaches have had to answer through the years. Like, I want to ask last night about, like, what'd you make of player X who I've never heard of in his performance in the third quarter? I'd say, Nick, are you embarrassed by your organization's decision to play nobody tonight? Like, Nick, what do you make of the product you're putting out there tonight? Nick, why didn't Paul George play tonight?
I think they're used
to it. The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
To that, I mean, I honestly do. I mean, you get to a point with this team and with the NBA where how many times can you ask about it? It's their problem, you know, so I don't want to really want to blame the media as much because, you know, you saw, I sent it to you, the tweet that Kyle put out, Kyle Newbeck, about what a disgrace the lineup they were trotting out last.
It was a disgrace.
He called it comical. They couldn't get away with it in the NFL because of the numbers. The people, you couldn't get away with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's just, they're getting away, they're sort of getting away with it. I mean, let me put it this way. They do it, but they're hurting, they're eating their own leg, and people are totally in tune with it and realize, what's the point of watching?
The ratings for the Sixers must be abysmal.
Have to be. I mean, what is the point of watching last night? Let's listen to what Nick Nurse said about the injuries after the game.
Tomorrow's game, the back-to-back playing to Paul, Maxey, and Caleb not playing tonight.
Well, I don't know. Listen, I kind of always play who's available, right? And I was told that by the time the game started, those three guys were out, and so they weren't available.
Do you expect them tomorrow?
Don't have an update yet on for tomorrow.
So if they play tonight, what, they were incapable of playing last night?
Yeah.
I mean, think about the family where, because I'm sure there was at least a few of these last night, maybe 500, where the Christmas gift was family of four, we're going to go see Oklahoma City.
One of the best teams in basketball. How cool would it be?
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's in town. Let's go see the Sixers play SGA. I mean, I'm sure there are about 500 people. That was a Christmas gift.
100%.
Right?
Oh, it's got to be more than I don't know.
Because it should be
a dream attached to every one of these tickets. Like, this is, for some people, like, I never got to go to pro sports games growing up.
A little further away.
I remember every one. It mattered so much. You know, first grade, I got to come to a Phillies game with Tony Northrup, my next door neighbor, and I brought my tiny little glove that went on the wrong hand, and I thought for sure I was going to catch a home run the whole night. That stuck with me my entire elementary school child. Like, that memory was so rich and important to me. Going to these games, everyone matters to every fan.
I hear you, John.
And the opportunity to see your favorite players, it's just part of the deal. Like, it's just...
Our coach and CYO growing up in St. Joe's in Aston, Coach Potts, he worked for the Inquirer, and he would get tickets every now and again. My brother loved Dominique Wilkins. I loved Jordan. So he gave us tickets to go down to the game. We went down Christmas Day. I don't know what year it was. I was younger, obviously fourth, fifth, sixth grade. And if I would have walked into the Spectrum and Jordan didn't play, I would have been heartbroken.
Yeah.
Can't even imagine.
Back then,
it would never.
It would not happen.
He would show up every time.
You're going down to the Wells Fargo Center. You're thinking, is JoJo going to play?
Right.
Like, is Max?
Like, why would you even take that risk?
Exactly.
Once upon a time, there was no risk attached to buying a ticket because you knew Jordan was going to be playing.
Correct.
You knew it mattered to him.
Correct.
I know it doesn't matter to these guys.
They don't care, and the organizations don't care. All right. We do have a playoff game on Sunday. We should be talking the most about that, and for the most part, we have. Let's go to the phones. Bob in Pensauken. Good morning, Bob.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, pal.
Doing well, Bob.
I'm with Josh. We're going to smoke the Rams. I mean, that is Dallas Goedert is going to be such a big part of this game. Remember when it was a couple games ago before the regular season ended, we were questioning Jalen Hurts because that he wasn't a passer. And then he came out and he had a great game and then he, you know, told the media, is this what you wanted to see? This is what we're going to see in this game. I think A.J. Brown is going to be targeted 15 times. He's going to have 11 catches, 122 yards, and 2 touchdowns. This is going to be a blowout.
Look.
I sure hope so.
I hope it's a blowout. I hope they don't deviate much from running often because I think that's what they are best at, Bob. So, I know what you're saying is appealing.
But it all fits together.
It's appealing if it all fits together.
You take some shots after you run and vice versa, and that's when the offense is best.
Well, I don't want Jalen to throw the ball 30 times.
Well, so he probably won't. He'll probably connect on some huge plays because they're going to be stacked against our run.
He's had games where he's thrown less than 20 times and still had big games because of the big plays, the explosive plays, as they call
them. Sure. I expect to see some of those in the passing game and the running game, and I do think Dallas Goedert will have a nice game. I love the fact that he's healthy and ready to roll, and fresh-legged Dallas Goedert. Fresh-legged and armed.
Armed,
that's
for
really
sure.
Cool.
Bob, give me an iconic photograph.
Anybody say the servicemen on D-Day Times Square?
No, and I've been waiting for that the whole show. I mean, that's got winning potential, obviously. By the way, did he just say D-Day instead of when we won the war? Somebody just said?
I didn't hear what
I said Times Square.
I heard Times Square and knew which
photo
he was talking about.
Oh, okay, good.
I think it's
good.
Like V-Day.
Yes, victory over Japan.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay, I thought he said D-Day, and that's why I got confused, but I heard him say Times Square. I knew what he meant. Yeah, if he said VJ Day, that's correct. All right, Colin in North Wales. Colin, good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well, Colin.
Good, good, good. All right, so my first thing is that y'all are talking about the wrong Philly sport. You have Ben Davis and one of the members of the High Host Pod. They just talked about spring training. The Phillies are officially back. So
getting close.
That should be what y'all are focusing on. But aside from that, I definitely haven't watched the Sixers game since they blew that series to the Celtics, I believe, in Game 6 where they were home.
2 years ago.
Out on the road.
Yep.
Yeah, haven't watched since then. Probably don't. The NBA, to me, is an awful product, and I won't even pay attention to come playoff time. So that's that. And, I don't know how they solve it, to be honest, but we'll see.
Are you really going to be able to do that, Colin? Like, you're turning your back on basketball, and then during the playoffs, you'll continue to shut them out? Will you be able to maintain that discipline?
I don't even consider myself. Like, I tell everybody, I don't really enjoy watching it, period. Like, basketball as a sport, which is weird because my career is literally filming, basketball for an AAU company, which is hilarious. But I actually don't really enjoy it more than football or baseball. Like, I don't consider myself a Sixers fan. Last year, I don't think I watched a single minute of the playoffs aside from, the last couple of minutes for the Celtics just because, that trophy presentation is something I find nice.
Yep.
I think the first basketball I actually watched all year was the Olympics with Steph Curry and going crazy, which is different. I think when you're repping your country, it's very different, and it's a different product, actually a better product than the NBA.
Yeah, it was competitive, and players tried, and they played, and they wanted to play and all that stuff.
100%.
Colin, give me an iconic photograph, pal.
I got the greatest sports photo of all time, Muhammad Ali over Sonny Liston.
Already been said. Give me a different one.
How about the workers at the top of the crane, I believe, eating lunch in the 30s?
Already been said.
I think that was Richie and Rhea, too. He got two of our answers.
You got one more shot, Colin.
Is this technically a photograph? Washington crossing the Delaware River?
No, it's a painting. Sorry, bud. It's a painting.
I don't think they had cameras back then. No.
That is correct.
Came a little bit after that one.
That painting is in my house. I have the original.
I can't believe you thought
original.
That might
no,
be
No, I got the original. Doesn't have the
I got
original.
The original.
No one buy
I got
into
the original.
This. Yes.
Anyone want to give me 15 mil? You got the original.
No,
but I have a
15
Is
mil?
Your apartment
what
basically like a,
I don't know. It's a good question.
An American History Museum. It seems like that's the vibe I'm getting. Nothing wrong with it. I'm just
part museum to me, and then part museum to our nation. Yeah,
to our nation.
So what's above the bidet?
Nothing. Just a mirror.
Just a mirror?
Just a mirror, man.
Good question.
Yeah. The problem is there's a mirror.
A mirror? You have a mirror above the bidet?
Well, above the toilet.
Okay.
But here's the problem. There's also a mirror facing
Why?
The person seated on
oh,
the
wow.
bidet.
So you, okay, what? Full 360.
I rent the apartment from someone who, you know, owns the apartment. When I moved in years ago, she has a mirror there. And I just never bothered to remove it. So when you sit on the toilet, you just stare
at
yourself.
Else,
that's bizarre.
Someone else
that is bizarre.
I don't understand this setup.
I could never
setup.
Do that.
It's, really,
of,
it's really weird. It's
someone
really weird.
Someone owned and decorated your apartment, and you're just like
so,
a guest?
Well, I
what
mean,
does this mean?
So everything else, almost everything else is totally mine. Furniture, mine. I moved it in the whole
almost
deal.
Almost everything
well,
else?
Well, a mirror on the wall. And I just thought, I guess... I'll leave it there. So I left it there.
So awkward.
You go to the bathroom and you see your grimace.
Mirror, mirror on the wall.
Your grimace.
Do you like to watch me?
No, I don't grimace. It,
do it all.
Comes out too easily. Trust
oh,
me.
Oh, boy.
Hey, with that said,
real
what do you
quick,
got,
that painting sold in 2022, $45 million.
Yeah.
You
wow.
undersold it, Joe.
$45 million. How about it? All right, with that said, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
Ben, you strike me like a grimace kind of guy.
Grimace?
You know, I just every once in a while, you gotta work.
Bear down.
goodness. You gotta bear down. Good term.
There's nothing sacred.
Bear down. All right.
Give the old college try.
Oh, you know what? Especially when all that comes out is like a little
oh
pebble.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
A little pebble. All that worked
Man
for
alive.
This. All right. So, Time's Yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Good thing none of us ate corn last night. With that said, why?
Completely inappropriate.
Oh, man.
Why?
What are we doing here?
All right. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
Tiny Toes, I got to tell you, you're killing me over here with the overconfidence and jinxing it with Saquon never fumbles, AJ, strongest hands I've ever seen in my life. It reminds me of 22 when you were guaranteeing parades that down Broad Street for both the Phillies and the Eagles came up short. Let's just enjoy this, go Birds.
Well, you're right about almost everything except I didn't guarantee it. I thought both would win, but I did not guarantee it.
For what
it.
It's worth, you guaranteed it in 2017 and they won.
It's the only time.
I know, and they won. So
yeah.
I'm just, you know, you can guarantee it and it can still happen.
But I haven't this time. That's the only time I believe.
I wasn't able to get through yesterday, but I had the winning answer of what didn't last long. And it was Devin's Eagles chant. I'm yours.
I could have won.
That's pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, I'm sick and tired of offensive coordinators allowed to talk to somebody like Dallas before the Super Bowl. I think that's why we lost in 22. You shouldn't be allowed to go after coaches until after the Super Bowl. But they're already looking to take our OC. It's ridiculous.
It's complicated, man. I don't know. I
actually agree with that. Like the overall rule that no one can go after a coach until after.
Well, here's the problem. And Ree, I think it was either you or James the other day that said this.
I'm the one who said I think they shouldn't be able to. I agree with Devin.
The only way you could fairly do it is
I said that.
Is if no one's allowed to hire a coach.
Which should be the rule.
Right. Until after the Super Bowl.
That should be the rule. Make that the rule.
So, you know, but. Honey, go ahead.
I keep on hearing this mantra, it's hard to play a team twice. Excuse me, aren't the Rams playing us twice in our house this time, in the freezing cold? Time's yours. Go Bears!
Yeah, look.
I think it's hard to
beat a team twice is the phrase.
The stupid comment is it's hard to beat a team three times. It's stupid. It's a stupid comment.
And the hard to beat a team twice is
The one you hear the most is it's hard to beat a team three times. And the reason it's dumb is, first off, you don't play a team three times often. That's number one. Number two, if you beat them twice, you will probably beat them the third time. But if you play them a third time, they're a good team because they're in the playoffs.
Case, the Eagles played
that was one of the weaker you know, playoff teams ever. But the reality is if you play a team a third time, they're a playoff team, so they're a good team. So fundamentally, that makes it kind of difficult. It's just a dumb comment. With that said, let's shut it down.
The Times Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
And then there's the extremely rare scenario where you play a team four times, college basketball, twice in the regular season, conference tournament, NCAA tournament. Hasn't happened often, has happened a few times.
I'm assuming it's happened, who would be the...
Well, UNC and Duke played in the Final Four two years ago. And so, or 3 years ago now. I don't know if they played that conference tournament.
That's probably the one that's happened the most.
Well, that was the first time they ever played in the tournament.
Yeah, Big East. So, there's been some Big East ones.
There has been. Yeah. Georgetown and St. John's in 85. And then there was Georgetown and Providence in 87. So there's a couple scenarios. All right. Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. And I'm still annoyed about that 87 game. But that's a whole other matter. All right, Armin.
Probably should let that go, Joe.
It was frickin' Billy frickin' Dunham.
Probably need
beat
to
Reggie
just
Williams.
Move past that.
I know.
I don't think that's his name, Joe.
No. Twitter poll. Billy the Kid is what they called him back then. Twitter poll.
Wasn't that one of the guys on the Sixers last night, or no?
say it again?
I said, wasn't that one of the guys on the Sixers
Billy,
last night?
Yeah, exactly. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Chevrolet remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, poll question. Is your disgust with the Sixers at an all-time high? Let's all go on the record. I am a yes. And this is saying something because of the process years. Rhea, your answer will be very interesting because you hated the process years and you hate what's going on now. Is your disgust at an all-time high?
No, because I hated the process. I was, okay. I mean, I remember Spike.
I respect that. I get
Spike
it.
Spike and I used to have vicious fights over it.
Yep.
And I was offended by it.
I understand.
And now I'm like, whatever.
Okay. I did like the purpose of the process, but I respect those that say it was unfair to the fans and you couldn't stomach it, if that's your personal opinion. I get that. James, are you at an all-time high with disgust?
Yes, right now. All-time high.
Ben Davis?
100%.
Devin?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Disgust and indifference.
Yeah, I get it.
Which is almost worse.
No, it is almost worse. Richie?
No question.
Yeah, it is a no question. For me, it's no question.
This team.
All right, Sixers. I want you to listen to the results of our poll. Because I have him in front of me. John, what percentage do you think said yes, that the disgust right now is at an all-time high? Thousands of voters.
88%.
88%
is
correct.
Wow, nicely done. Wow. You nailed it.
That was
88. Now, I'm just going to say this. Josh Harris,
that's
I know.
That's a massive number. For a poll to be 88%, that is as overwhelming as it gets.
Josh Harris, I know you're not listening. I know you're not. David Adelman, you might be. Daryl Morey, theoretically possible. Nick Nurse, maybe you wake up and you're listening to us. Hear us. Hear us. Hear your fans. It's not just us. We get thousands of votes on this poll. Okay, we get thousands of votes. 88% of respondents say it's an all-time high of disgust. Just hear that and do different. All right. We'll talk about that more another day. We got to come up with a winning answer, most iconic photograph ever. Oswald getting shot, Hindenburg coming down, Iwo Jima, bomb, Marilyn Monroe's dress, JFK Jr. salute, Michael Jordan flying through the air, Martin Luther King giving the speech, Apollo 8, Earth Rising, Times Square, the kiss.
Earth Rise and Iwo Jima stand out
and the VJ Day.
Mm.
Devin?
I like VJ Day.
Ben?
I agree.
The kiss.
Yeah.
Rhea?
The kiss was great until you
over the flag.
Yeah, I like the flag better.
Yeah, I would vote for the flag then.
There was some kind of
poll tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Flag, kiss, earth, maybe salute. We'll figure it out.
I love it.
We'll figure it out. It's worthy of.
I like the salute a lot too.
Yeah, I don't know. We're not smart enough to know the answer. We'll let the people decide tomorrow with a poll.